This is KUT. Our next story is just in time for Halloween. KUT's Mose Bushell brings us the tale of an invasion that's gradually overtaking the state of Texas, the people fighting it, and how the world around us can change dramatically depending on how we train our minds to perceive it.
Dr. Hans Landel blows minds for a living. He travels the state giving workshops, and he always starts them with this warning.
If you're used to walking around, taking hikes, or driving down the road and saying, oh, what pretty flowers, oh, there's nice plants, by the end of the workshop, you won't be able to do that anymore.
You'll be changed.
You're going to be... you won't be naive anymore.
Landel oversees the invasive species program at the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center. Part of his job is teaching people how to identify plant invaders.
So you'll be walking down, hiking down a trail and going, oh, there's an invasive species. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one.
These plants cause millions of dollars of damage to land and waterways every year.
Oh, there's another one. Driving down the road. Oh, there's another one. There's another one.
Local and state governments spend millions more fighting them.
There's another one. There's another one.
So when it comes to invasive species, the stakes are high.
Because they're everywhere.
Take the shores of Lady Bird Lake in Austin. I'm standing here because this is a good example of how hard it is to control invasives in Texas. That sound you're hearing is a motor pumping herbicide and a stand of invasive plants called Arundodonax. Contractor Dylan Hendrickson is working his way through them with a hose, spraying them with a blue liquid. This plant looks kind of like bamboo topped with a feather duster. It's enormous, maybe 15, 20 feet tall. It looks impressive, but it shades out native plants so they can't grow around it. It sucks up water, so it's bad for conservation efforts. And in South Texas, this plant even poses a security threat. It grows up and down the Rio Grande, making illegal border crossing easier. So there's a special effort to eradicate it.
The way this chemical works, it's a growth inhibitor. So as long as it gets some of it in there, it should do the job.
You see this kind of plant around a lot?
Yes, but we don't spray for it a lot.
Right, some people like it growing up.
I think most people use it for like privacy walls around their lake.
That's challenge number one. This plant is considered so damaging, it's on a state list of plants that are illegal to sell. Still, it spreads.
There's not a whole lot of meaning to that listing. In a greater sense, there's nobody policing invasive species.
Forrest Smith is the director of the South Texas Natives and Native Seeds Project at Texas A&M University Kingsville.
I've heard people ask and talk about, well, if you saw, let's say, a developer planting a bunch of a particular state-listed invasive plant, who do you call?
It's a good question. The Texas Department of Agriculture designates banned plants on a thing called the Noxious Weed List, but the agency doesn't have any enforcement powers. Texas Parks and Wildlife keeps a separate list of invasives. It can send game wardens to stop people from selling banned plants, but that doesn't happen often. The agency says it's only investigated one complaint over the sale of invasives in the last year.
Back here on the shores of Lady Bird Lake, all you need to do is walk a few steps away from that giant cane to find another invasive plant. This one is called elephant ear because that's what its broad green leaves look like.
That's another one that we're working to replace with native vegetation, and that's principally by manual means.
John Clement is with the City of Austin's Watershed Protection Department. He says the elephant ear is a headache to remove.
We have crews going out, digging it up, and immediately replanting with native plants.
But elephant ear is legal to sell. So as the city works to remove it, you and I are free to plant it.
Is that a concern that people can go get it? And then, you know, I mean, you're fighting it here, but then I could go buy it and out it goes again.
Yeah, no, that's not a serious concern. The most aggressive things have been taken off the market.
Some people disagree.
Talking to other researchers and speaking with these volunteers, it always comes down to why are they being sold? And I'm pulling them out at the same time. That's the big thing.
That's Hans Landel with the Wildflower Center again. He says other states are more aggressive about regulating invasive plants. In California, about 200 plants are banned. In Florida, it's around 100. But in Texas, it's around 40. Part of the reason the number is lower here is because of the way Texas decides what plants to regulate. Basically, you need to show a plant is having a big economic impact on natural resources or agriculture.
So there are many species that may be causing problems, but would not be on the Texas Department of Agriculture list because they don't cause those kinds of problems.
And Forrest Smith with Texas A&M University Kingsville says when a plant is proposed for regulation, there's usually a fight between people that want to regulate it and industries that don't.
The best example of that comes from grasses like buffelgrass in South Texas. We know that buffelgrass is detrimental for wildlife. On the other hand, the livestock industry is benefited immensely by that grass.
In the absence of listing more plants and increasing enforcement, state and nonprofit groups rely on educational outreach. They encourage plant retailers to stock native plants, teach volunteers to ID, report, and remove invasives. That brings us back to Hans Landel's program at the Wildflower Center. He says it's trained 20,000 people to identify invasive plants.
So you'll be walking down, hiking down the trail and going, oh, there's an invasive species. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one.
But remember, if you join their ranks,
driving down the road, oh,
you may be changed forever.
You won't be naive anymore.
Because they're everywhere. Mose Bouchel, KUT News.